Welcome to Beaver Lodge Alliance's sermon podcast. We're so glad to join you. This is the latest sermon. We pray that you would receive encouragement, exhortation, and that Jesus would speak to you through this sermon. Enjoy.
It is just a joy to be back out here in Beaver Lodge. It was this weekend, actually, 1986. That Scott and I brought our little family out to the Beaver Lodge area to live here for about 3 years. And we came to this church, and my little girl Hannah has grown up, and she's sitting right there. She was 4 years old back then. So it's just a real joy to be here, and there's so many of you that we know and remember, and some new faces too. So thank you for this honor and this privilege of being here. And thank you, Amy, for those kind words. And yes, I love to have fun. So let me just get my notes. You remember those days. It's Valentine's Day, and you're in grade 4 or 5, maybe even 6, and there's going to be a Valentine's Day party. Yep. At school, and on the back of every chair.
I got some directions from the sound person that I need to. Is that better? Is that anywhere close to what I'm supposed to be doing?
How's that? Now I feel like I'm yelling. Am I yelling?
Okay, we're getting thumbs up.
Okay.
Sorry, everyone.
That's okay. So on the back of every chair, there's a large envelope or folder ready to receive all of the cards from everyone in your class to you. You've signed all the cards for all of your classmates and picked out one that was maybe especially for someone special. And you may sign your name, or you may just put your initials or a smiley face. You hope upon hope that you receive a Valentine from this special person, hoping that it reveals to you their undying love and devotion to you forever and ever, or at least that day. These cards are filled with such deep emotional sentiment, express how you felt for all sorts of people. Like, won't you be my Valentine? You're perfect. Be mine. Not worth a cent if you're not my Valentine. Those were so lovely. I don't know if they still do that in school or not. Do they? Okay, that's great. All humans have a deep well that yearns to be loved. And to know that this love will not be conditionally based on behavior, skills, looks, or social status. My journey with Jesus has sadly been one of doubt and disbelief that the God of the universe, the speaker of life, the one who sacrificed his life for me, would have done it for me. And that he did this because he loved me. I've been stretched and challenged to step into the truth that God loves me. Beyond the truth that he loves everybody else. He loves me. And that is what the Apostle Paul is pleading for the Ephesian believers. Paul's desire for the Ephesians and for all of us is that we would know who we are as Christ followers, and that we would be strengthened in this knowledge through his Spirit, and that we would know this love in our own personal lives. And so this Sunday, on the weekend that we've maybe spent a lot of time and energy and money and effort on expressing our love for each other, I want to take some time to look at this supernatural love that Paul speaks about and make that choice to walk into, maybe for the first time, this love, and then walk deeper and deeper with him. I want to read from Ephesians 3, 14 through 21, and I'll be reading this portion, which is so rich and powerful in any translation there is, but I want to read it out of the New Living Translation because I think it really beautifully expresses this portion of Scripture. When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the Creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. So I want to focus more today on God's love. But before I get into that, I want to put this portion of Scripture into context. So I want to mention a few things. First of all, Paul starts off with this phrase. He says, when I think of all these things. All of what, Paul? Paul does this type of letter writing a lot. He starts a topic, and then he goes on and on for maybe sentences or paragraphs or maybe a chapter, and we feel like he's getting sidetracked. This isn't a bad thing. It's just the way Paul wrote and communicates. He was a wordy man. So back to the question. Paul says, when I think of all these things, I believe Paul's referring back to chapter 1, verse 13. The story of redemption for all humankind is literally for all humankind. And Paul wanted the Ephesian church to know this truth. When they heard the truth of what Jesus did was for all, regardless of their genealogy or race, they accepted it for themselves. He says that when they heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, they, the Gentile Ephesians, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. So this is where Paul picks up. Paul's desire is that they, the Gentile church in Ephesus, and that we would know that this is the unwavering truth and the reality of who they are. Secondly, he says, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father. Paul, the man who probably struggled with his redeemability, was so impassioned that the Ephesian believers would know that this truly was for them as well. Falling to your knees to pray probably implied a reverence and awe of God and a way to show respect to him. I can imagine Paul's humble thanksgiving to his Savior that day on that road when he met Jesus and the gift he received in the outstretched arms of Jesus and his gift to him. And then Paul's desire for the dear believers in Ephesus to know this as well. And then thirdly, the desire of Paul's heart for them is that they would truly, through the work of the Holy Spirit, accept and believe and receive the reality of who they were as believers. There is no hierarchy, no divvying out of the Spirit to the Jewish believers more than the Gentile believers. His prayer was that they would be empowered by the Holy Spirit's strength, that they would make Christ, or maybe I should say give Christ, his place in their hearts, and then to grow deeper in him as believers and a follower of Jesus Christ. So this is the context of Paul's prayer, and then we read his heartbeat. The desire of Paul's heart for these dear believers is that they would know that they are loved beyond measure, and that his desire is the same for us here today, that we as God's children would know that we are loved, really loved by him. Let's make it a little more specific. You are loved by him. And even just to go a little bit deeper, I am loved by him. Can we just say that together about yourself? I am loved by him. That's sometimes a hard thing to say and really believe what you're saying. I can remember the first time I read these words from the book of Ephesians. I was standing in my kitchen, and suddenly, for whatever reason, I was open to this book, and I remember this overwhelming sense that God loved me this deep. And it was more than just the Sunday school song that Jesus loves me. But he does, he loves me, but that he loved me, Ramona, and he won't stop loving me. Paul's prayer was that the believers would be able to comprehend and understand this love. So let's take just a few minutes to look through the scriptures. It's rich and full of the stories of God's deep, high, wide, and eternal love. So first of all, his love is wide. It's for all mankind. This should be something we all know to be true. We sing about it from the time we were children, like they sang this morning. And the hymns, the old hymns, I don't know if we sing any of these anymore, but oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus and the love of God and oh, how he loves me. But it can be easy to slip into the idea that maybe, just maybe, he loves the North American Christians a little bit more, at least us in the more civilized Western Hemisphere. But that is not what Scripture teaches at all. In the very beginning, we learned that God created man. He was not making a specifically racial man. He created man, Adam and Eve. And in them, they carried the seed of all mankind, all over the world. And he loved them so much that he was careful to provide for all of their needs, all of our needs. He gave them air, water, food, beauty, a partner. He gave them a body and an environment where the bodies could function and live. And we were created in his image. Genesis 1:27 says that God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And part of that image, there's so much to that, but part of that image is that we reflect who God is. And he is peace, he's patience, he's kindness. God is love. We also know that we're loved because he breathed in man the breath of life. This wasn't done for any of the other creatures that he made. He did it for us. He breathed his life in us. Every man, woman, and child, every person in here is loved by God. His plan for man was that we were to live fully and abundantly in the world he created for us. And even when sin entered the world, he could have destroyed his creation, but he didn't. His love extended beyond the sin that was committed. And he put his eternal plan in motion for salvation for all mankind. His love never stopped, and we read about this promise, and most of you have heard of this from Genesis 3:15. The redemptive story of Jesus' love the story of our Creator. This love of his is seen through the stories of the Old Testament. Was witnessed in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and the disciples were told to share this good story, this story of love to all the nations, tribes, and people groups. We read the Great Commission in the last book of Matthew, chapter 28. And this continues to be the story of God and his love for the people. And that's part of the Christian and Missionary Alliance Church. We believe in that, going to share Jesus' love. His love is wide, and that means it provides eternal life. We all know the verse, John 3:16. We've got it memorized. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have what? Eternal life. It also tells us that we were chosen and blessed. Psalm 33, verse 12 says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen as his heritage." And then Ephesians 1, 4 says, "Even as he," Jesus, "chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ." Next, Paul says that his love is long. It's eternal. God is eternal. If you are at all like me, and I think most of us are human, we have laid in bed at night and tried to comprehend the eternalness of God. Have you ever done that? There's no beginning, there's no end. And you lay there and you feel like your brain is going to maybe start exploding because we cannot comprehend the eternalness of God. We're finite creatures. And so this concept cannot be fathomed. The same is true of his love for us. His love has always been. When he created us, it just didn't appear. He created us, he wanted fellowship with us because he loves us, even though he knew how fragile we are. Ephesians 1:3 said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world." This is going to show my age. I know I don't look this old, but there's an old rock and roll song from in the 70s. And it speaks to the idea that our world has. We are all just living on this globe while God, the puppet master, watches his creation perform for him. I'm going to read one of the verses. "The rivers are full of crocodile nasties, and he who made kittens put snakes in the grass. He's a lover of life, but a player of pawns. Yes, the king on his sunset lies waiting for dawn to light up the jungle as play is resumed. The monkeys seem willing to strike up the tune." It's kind of a cool song. But this is not and does not reflect at all the eternal love of our Father. We are not puppets bending to the will of the puppeteer. God wasn't surprised with man's sin in Genesis 3. He knew that we, as his creation, had a choice to make. And even though he knew we would choose our own way, he loved us deeply enough to make a way for us to be with him through the sacrifice of his Son. Isaiah 54:10 says, "For the mountains may depart and the hills be removed, but my steadfast love shall not depart from you, and my covenant of peace shall not be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you." And the beautiful Psalm 136 records the words of David, who had an understanding of God's eternal love. Let me just read a couple of them. There's 26 verses, and I'd encourage you to read it. It speaks of God's eternal love. David says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his steadfast love endures forever." It goes on and on. It's beautiful. Next, we see that his love is high. What is Paul referring to when he talks about God's love this way? God's love exalts, it lifts up, it never brings us down. Part of my ordination requirements is that I read through the Bible in a version I have never read before. So because I love leaving things to the last minute, I am on the 6-month Bible reading plan. That means that I have been reading the Old Testament vigorously, and which have the Old Testament stories which I love, and I find them so fascinating. In particular, I love the books of Samuel, Kings, and Chronicles, well, some of Chronicles. There's a lot of names and a lot of lists, but I love the stories. They are historical and visual reminders showing us the in real life what happens when God's love is embraced versus what happens when not following him. When a king embraced God and followed him wholeheartedly, he and his people were lifted up out of the sin-filled, lifeless existence that defined them when they didn't follow God and put him first. A life honoring God brought blessing, fulfillment, and peace. In a way of speaking, it lifted them up and out of the bondage and lifelessness that they lived. David knew this when he penned the words in Psalm 40, verses 1 to 3. I waited patiently for the Lord, he says, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me up from the pit of destruction, out of the miry bog, and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. God's love for David brought him up, not down. The Apostle Paul so beautifully wrote to the Ephesian believers earlier in chapter 2 about God's love bringing exaltation to the believers in Jesus. He said, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Any story you read in the New Testament of Jesus having contact with an encounter with someone brings freedom, life, salvation, fullness, and a new life. The story of the Samaritan woman, or some of you may know her by the name of the woman at the well, in John 4 is such a beautiful story of Jesus' love for her. He didn't bring condemnation or judgment. He knew all about her life that she led, but out of his abundant love, he shared freedom, forgiveness, and the ability to walk into a life where she didn't have to hide in fear and shame anymore. The story of the woman with the issue of blood was filled with so much physical suffering and shame that we read about that in Mark and Luke. And what a beautiful picture it was of this woman who tentatively reached out to touch the hem of Jesus' garment. And Jesus, in his goodness, gave her healing physically, emotional, and spiritual. She didn't have to live in shame anymore. She experienced the love of God. And the utter bondage of the destruction of the Gerasene demoniac is another beautiful and astounding picture of God's love lifting someone up. This man lived in the tombs and was bound by the demonic presence or presences in his life. A word from Jesus brought freedom and life to this man. He no longer had to live in the world of death and evil, but as the Son of God, cleansed, forgiven, and with freedom. And then we see that his love is deep. We have touched on the bigness of God's love, and maybe you are like me when you read these stories and think, Wow, that was a beautiful story in the Bible for that person. I'm so happy for the Samaritan woman. And wasn't that a relief for the woman that lived with the issue of blood? And boy, wasn't that great. What a powerful story of the Gadarene demoniac. I'm so glad that God didn't destroy Adam and Eve. Those were great stories for them. But does Jesus do this for me? He does it for others. Can he do it for me? Do you find it hard to believe deep down in your soul that his love is deep enough for you? Is it deep enough for me? Sorry, I gotta find my place. We have, at least most of us, have heard the term, the ground is even at the foot of the cross, or there is nothing outside the reach of Jesus' outstretched arms on the cross. Those are easy words to say, but do you know it's true for you? Psalm 139 gives us an inside look into the heart of David, who knew intimately of the depth of God's love for him. I just want to read a few verses of what he says in Psalm 139. He says, "You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where shall I go from your spirit, or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me." David knew that there was no place he could go secretly that God would not know about. And beyond that, he was loved by God and precious to him. "How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I were to count them, they are more than the sand. I awake and I am with you." In fact, David trusted this deep love of God so much that he was bold enough to ask God, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Jesus knows us. He knows we're frail. He knows we fail. We make unwise choices. We sin, we think secretly. And yet he is aware and still loves us. Anytime David was confronted with sin choices he had made, he humbly confessed and knew he was loved by God. Whether it was an adulterous relationship, whether it was the planning and murder of another man, his friend Uriah, or whether it was David counting the number of men he had when he was told not to. When he was confronted with sin, his words were, "I have sinned the Lord." But because David knew God intimately, he knew that he was deeply loved by him. And he found forgiveness and reconciliation. And this brings us to Paul's last few comments. God's desire is that we, as his children, would experience this love of his. He wants us to come from here to here. Paul writes, "May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God." God knows this is, and knows it will be, a journey for all of us as we continue to walk with him until we take our first steps with him in eternity. So where are you? Worship team, you can start making your way up. Have you experienced God's wide, long, high, and deep love for you? Have you taken a step of faith with him by accepting his gift of salvation through his love for you? You can do that right now, right today. Did you know his love is universal for everyone? Or have you been like me, thinking that that person is pretty far gone, or that people group, I don't know, they're pretty beyond God's love? We live with the world around us. Grand Prairie And the peace region is represented by so many of the people groups of the world. Can we start looking at them with the same love God has for them? Get to know them, start conversations, have them over to your place. Start showing God's love to them. Do you walk through your days feeling like there was an end to his love? It couldn't stretch this far. Jesus has done so much for me since that day in my kitchen. Lots of doubts and arguments with him about his love for me. A couple of things he's taught me, and I'm going to, Beaver Lodge Church has had a significant role in this. Scott and I attended a Holy Spirit weekend. How many years ago was that? 15 or 20 years ago. And I was ready to flee, and Scott pretty much had to hold me in my seat. But God started showing me that he loved me, and that began a journey for me in my heart. One of the things I learned from Doug and Terry Balzer with Soul Care is to learn how to take thoughts captive. When a thought comes into my mind, I don't think he really loves me because of that. Question that thought. Is that thought from God? Is that true before Jesus, that thought? No, recognizing the lies from Satan. So even when you don't feel lovable, he still loves you. So what step of faith is he asking of you today in experiencing this love of his? He is there, he is here, and he's waiting for you to accept this gift of his. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, knew of this love when he penned these words in Lamentations 3:22. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness.
Thank you for listening to our podcast today. If you'd like more information about us or find out ways to contact us, visit our website at www.beaverlodgealliancechurch.com. We pray today that you would experience the love, presence, and power of Jesus Christ, and then make him known.